Zero TR.
Staying at home, keeping dry.
Oh, I had to go out back there a while ago and check the chickens, and I was looking at the radar on Channel 4, and it looked like we were in a hole. And I made sure it was updated, so I ran out there, and then I had to go down and feed the animals way out back. And, well, that was a mistake. It started raining pretty good before I got turned around and got back. Then I had to stop and take a nitroglycerin, which that got me even wetter.
I dropped her off. She might go off.
Well, I had on gloves, and oh, it was a pain. But anyways, I got her done. And I didn't think it was cool enough to bother me, but it did. It's 64 degrees out there, it says on the weather station. And only 96%, you know, humidity. And feels like 68, it says, but that humidity. That's unusual. 64 is the temperature, and it feels like 68. It's been just the opposite lately.
A factor of the humidity, and we're effectively at 100%. I do have things coming out of the sky as I drive to my doctor's appointment. So, you know, that's why it feels like 130% humidity in August normally.
Yeah, very true. This thing don't have dew point on it, but I'm sure it's just about 64 as the temperature is out there, because it's almost foggy anyways, or it was earlier, not now. The rain burned it off. Well, I got an eye doctor appointment tomorrow, and so I got to get that done, and I'm looking at my weather station. It says 2.2 inches so far.
As I drive down, there's a lot of large puddles that, you know, it's normally, we only get large puddles when we have rain.
Go to that Mountain View Clinic. That's where I go to, not far from 14.
Over at Internal Medicine down on River Mountain in Woodruff, which is usually about the closest I ever come to Woodruff.
Yeah, me too. I got a gastroenterologist that used to be here at Greer, and he moved down there. Right where that corner is, where you turn left just to go over to Costco's there, a couple of blocks, where you go straight towards the Motor Mile, and he's on the right side down around all those roundabouts. It's a real pain.
Find me a new eye doctor, because mine sold out his practice, and then they never could keep an actual doctor there. He sold out to a group. And the last time I went to one of these, you know, quick, do your eyes, and hey, we're going to stick you in bifocals whether you want them or not. And I'm like, no, just give me distance glasses. I can take my glasses off if I need to read something up close. And it is actually very foggy out here.
Well, Wyatt, I couldn't give a higher recommendation to any place in my life than Clemson Eye. And it's right there, down, well, Maurice has to tell me the name of the street, but it's at Pelham and right by that big shopping center. I can't remember the name of it. It's a huge one down there. It's just before you get to that, and about a block off of, Maurice, if you're upstairs and hear me, come tell me what road that is. Anyways, it's just awesome. You can look it up, and they've got multiple doctors in there, and they're just great. I mean, ever since they fixed my eyes many years ago, now I've had 20/20, and I couldn't hardly read the big E on the eye chart. But you don't have to get that done. They got retina specialists, they just regular eye doctors, they got surgical doctors, you name it. There's several floors of them there. It's a beautiful facility. I guess they got offices in Clemson and different places too, but it's right here, and it's called Clemson Eye.
I would actually like to do something like LASIK or something like that one of these days. I don't know that I'm still a candidate for it. Just got to get my A1C down, and my A1C's been stubbornly high.
Well, this is blateless, Wyatt. When I went in to get my eyes done, I spent more time in the waiting room, which was probably 30 minutes, than I did getting the surgery done. And I went back, and they put eye drops in my eyes about three or four times to get them dilated good and numbed up or whatever. And they do it with a femto laser. They take you back, and I had a bit of astigmatism, so years ago they couldn't do it with the LASIK they had then, but these guys are light years ahead. It's approved for people in Top Gun and all of the military services, Air Force, Army, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard, and it didn't used to be because they would, one pilot told me one time, he says, "Nah," he says, "they either can fix you for far vision or close vision, and I don't even have to have reading glasses. I have a pair that has a teeny bit of astigmatism left, but I don't really need them, but they kind of magnify a little bit. If it's the smallest writing that you could ever see on a prescription bottle way down at the bottom, sometimes if I want to read that, I might have to have that on, but other than that, I got 20/20 in both eyes.
Nice, because, you know, when I wake up in the morning, it's like, if I didn't actually put my eyeglasses down where I usually put them, it's like, all right, I have to stumble around, wave my hands around looking for my eyeglasses.
Levels of it and different expenses according to what you want done. And Bruce and I both had it done, but I'd say the surgery took 15 minutes. Put me in a wheelchair, wheeled me out, no patches on your eyes, absolutely zero pain, and she drove me home. And that was the end of it. And about a year later, I told him, I said, "That one eye, just a little bit foggy there." And he says, "Sometimes that happens, Tom," but he says, "it's very rare." He says, "Come in the other room." I went in the other room, and he looked through this machine at me and went zap, 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 and that was the end of that. And but any one of them down there is excellent, Wyatt.
Check them out then, because, you know, that's the thing that I've been concerned about. I mean, I know they got high success rate, but, you know, if they botch one eye, they're more than likely to botch the other eye at the same time, and that just scares the fool out of me.
No, it would, me too. No, it's unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. And Bernice's eyes are perfect. Now, Bernice had a stroke years later in her eye, but it was because a piece of her carotid artery broke off and hit her optic nerve. Nothing to do with that surgery. And she still has 20/20 in the other eye. But the right eye has some vision, but not as much as it used to have. But nothing to do with that surgery for years.
I'll put them in my little book to look up, because it is time for me to do that again, just about.
Yeah, for simple eye tests and that. And I've never been in such a place. The technology is what amazes me. I never had an eye doctor that had that many electronic machines. I mean, they go in and they measure the thickness of your cornea, your peripheral vision, totally electronic stuff and painless. Now, I've seen them at, like, Costco's at the optometrist. You know, he got one, and they'll run a couple of tests on you. Wyatt, it don't even compare. It don't even compare to what these people have. And they'll explain to you what each one of them does. They'll go back, check your eyes all out, and it's just totally amazing. I've really been thrilled with them.
before CTD Mobile. Yeah, I'll definitely check them out then.
Yeah, it's down there by the Haywood Mall. You cut off of White Hampton there at, I got St. Mark Road in my mind. It isn't. It's down there just before you get to Wally World, about a mile or so. You hang a left and go down that towards the Haywood Mall, back through the residential area. And then when you get up there to Pelham Road, you just hang a right, and it's about 2 blocks up on the left side. Beautiful building. And wintertime, you go in there, there's a fireplace. It's kind of course, it's artificial. But the people are just excellent. The receptionists all the way to all of the nurses. And I think you'd enjoy it. It's worth a try anyways, but you can look it up online.
Now is Edwards Road, which then becomes Howell, which then becomes Haywood. And that sounds like it's kind of across the street from where they're building all those brand new apartments. Is that where we're talking about?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it is Edwards Road. I just couldn't get St. Mark out of my head. it's Edwards Road, but down here, these fools, they change the name of the road about every 3 miles around here. And, you know, from Kansas, we're a little slow.
Technically speaking, if you're going north to south, it'd be Edwards Mill Road, Edwards Road, Howell, and then Haywood. I've lived here a long time, and I used to live off of Edwards Road. And it confused me originally, too. It's like, why does the road change its name? There's not a crossing street there. What are you talking about?
I've had that all over, so I just rely on Susie. Now, Susie's blonde, and she gets confused a little bit now and then, but that's what I call my GPS. But really, it's pretty good anymore. I think the one in the car is Google, but I can use Apple if I want to, but it's just easier to use the one that's built into it. But it's really good, the Google Maps is. So I got no problem with it. And we don't travel very far, but it's nice to have it in there. So I guess that makes us that weren't raised here less likely to memorize all of the streets, you know. And but I remember it when I hear the name, and I know where to go, so that's the main thing. But right there at Edwards Road or whatever, if you're going south, you just hang a right, get into the left lane, and at the stoplight, you'll turn maybe a fourth of a block, and it's on the right side. It is a big building. You can't miss it once you get to that stoplight.
The TCBY is an ice cream place, store right next to it, isn't there?
I really don't know, but they just got done, they just got finished building all those big, tall apartments right there at that corner on the right side if you're going south towards Haywood.
They wanted to go higher, but that's on the approach path to Greenville downtown, and they could. But no, can't do that. It's too close to the runway.
Oh, did you hear they had to shut down GSP the other day and abort their secondary because they had some runway lights out?
Man, that's. I bet they had a bunch of runway lights out for that.
And this is Gerald TR. What I read said had a runway light out. And so I don't know if it was the strobes or what, but I'm sure there was IFR that day and probably needed them. Pretty sure, not positive. But I read it on Fox News, I think it was, or heard it on Fox News here on the local channel. They had to take several planes down there and offload the passengers there until they got that repaired.
Huh. Don't know what that would be then. Unless the strobe lights were out, don't know.
Evil man, when those things go off, wow, never had that kind of thing in the old days. And I don't know how long Vassie's been around, but I don't think that stopped them from landing.
Vassie's were if you got your iOS, you don't really need the VASI.
That was set up for angle attack or just the point of landing, I guess.
A 3-degree angle, if that's what it's set for.
Still got a marker beacon?
Seems like GSP has some kind of beacon. I can't remember what kind it is. Might be an outer.
In the old days, real old days, a lot of the airports and places, well, we just landed military bases, they had a marker beacon, and it was like 3,000 hertz, and I'd hear it in my helmet just before we landed.
Actually, in a really well-built Air Force base, you had 3 markers, possibly, depending on how old, an NDB or a VOR. And the markers run at 75 megahertz pointing straight up, and you have tones 312 or so thousand, somewhere in there. And I can't remember what that inner is. The inner is much higher. It's like 27, I guess. I can't remember off the top of my head.
How long is the runway down at Donelson? Well, I didn't catch that. You're a little fast on the mic. I just wondered how long the runways were at Donelson.
But it used to be the longest runway. I think when GSP extended theirs, they actually got a little longer. But it's around 5,800, I think it is.
Ooh, GSP's 11,000.
I don't pay attention. I mean, it takes me at, rotational speed about 4 minutes to get from one end to the other.
Good job. I'd love to be able to do that. Turn on them yellow lights and just drive down the runway after
you. Allow me to do that, every time I buy a new vehicle. I'm like, hey, it's a beautiful, clear, dry day. Nobody around. Hey, can I take the runway? And then, depending on who's there, they'll probably say yes or no. But I tell you, the crosswind there is terrible. Because most of the runway is protected, and then you get to the north end of the runway, and the hillside disappears. And that can be pretty fierce at rotation speed.
Yes, winds suck. That's all you can say about them. But boy, they're really doing a lot of modification. I think it got approved downtown there. That'll be pretty neat. It gets too crowded there at that runway cafe. We've been down there a few times and enjoyed it, but any more you go down there, they got that playground and that, and it's swamped.
Remember before they built the playground, and even then it was starting to get a little packed in there. And frankly, to be honest, I don't know any of the people there anymore. I used to know everybody, and then time went on, and it just don't remember that many people anywhere. Most of them have retired and gone away, and they don't work aviation anymore.
Yeah, I've thought about going down there and taking a ride in that biplane, but it's a little pricey. It'd be fun, though. Never rode in a biplane before. Although I've been in paragliders before.
I've been in a tail dragger before, but I don't know that I've ever actually been in a biplane.
$400 for a ride, and he has different levels of how far out you go, of course, and I'm sure radial engines are not cheap. They take a tremendous amount of maintenance compared to a jet engine, but I've noticed it flying over the house here now and then. But yeah, the paragliders are like riding in a rocking chair. Although I had a couple of incidents in them up in Kansas. I was in one, it was two-person, and we got down, maybe 6 foot above the runway, and we lost our, there's somebody in the driveway, we lost our lift, and it fell about 4 to 6 feet, and it broke both struts out there, which were like one-inch fiberglass. It's sort of like a cane pole, only they were fiberglass rods. That hurt.
Well, of those biplane engines, every time they fly them, they have to come back and put oil in them. But, you know, it is what it is. My funnest remembrance is actually I got to fly a helicopter. Of course, I got my rear end, you know, canned afterwards because I didn't know that the guy that owned the helicopter was continuously drunk. That was a bad experience afterwards. But it was fun flying the helicopter. I found out a lot that I never knew about them.
This is Enzerl TR. Yeah, I bet you did. Oh, shoot. Yeah, my first tail dragger ride was in an old Courier, and I got to do the flare out and the landing with it. Of course, the instructor was right behind me. They had Penny a Pound Day, and he was a stick. It wasn't a yoke, and I'll never forget that as long as I live. I think that's what got me interested in the aviation. But helicopters, I've heard this, don't know that it's right. You got to think five axes at one time. Makes them pretty difficult to fly.
I enter that Paris Mountain shadow over in Taylor's, and so I'm going to let you go on this one. Good talking to you, Tom. 73 is on yours, KJ4 CTD.
Okay, Wyatt, have a good day out there. Nice hearing you today. KJ4 CTD and 0TR, clear.